And the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your
good morning. You know, in situations like this, sometimes we come here sad and discouraged, but we don't need to be sad and discouraged today. We know where she is. Amen? Hallelujah. We want to welcome you to the celebration of life for Carol J. Catahenry Dosick. If you would bow your heads, please, let us start with a prayer. Father, we come before you in the blessed name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are faithful to answer prayer and your word is true. We thank you that you give us peace and confidence in the knowledge and understanding of where our loved one is this day. and for all eternity, then we don't have to concern ourselves. Father, we just thank you that you touch every heart here that is burdened and saddened, and lift them up, encourage them, so that they see, that they know that this was a life that was lived well for your glory, and you are well pleased with them. We just thank you, Father, that we have that confidence. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to have a musical selection played now that was composed by our worship leader. It's a compilation of two songs, Worthy of It All and It Is Well.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was beautiful. And look at that face and tell me, is that somebody who is confident that it is well with their soul?
Wow.
We're coming to a part now of the service that is not really my favorite, but it's important to do. And the reason it's not my favorite is because sometimes you mispronounce somebody's name or you accidentally leave out a line while you're reading it. And it always makes me feel bad when that happens. And it has happened. We'll just pray it's not going to happen this time. Carol J. Catahenry Dosick, age 69, of New Knoxville, died on Saturday, November 26, 2022, at 8:45 a.m. at her residence. She was born on January 16, 1953, in Lima, the daughter of the late Charles F. and M. Louise Vandermark Altstetter. On April 20, 1974, Carol married Dennis J. Catahenry, and he preceded her in death on December 2, 2006. On July 25, 2010, she married Charles D. Dosick, and he preceded her in death on September 25, 2020. Survivors include her children, Jason, and his wife, Angel Catahenry, and their daughter, Alicia, of New Knoxville. Sarah and her husband, Rich Short, and their son, Pierce, of Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Luke and his wife, Catherine Catahenry, and their daughter, Melina, of New Knoxville. Also surviving are her stepchildren, Stacy, and her husband, Mike Rails, of Quincy, Ohio, and Jeremy and his wife, Kelly Dosick, of Piqua, Ohio, 9 step-grandchildren, and her brothers, Michael, his wife, Mary Jo Altstetter, of Bell Fountain, Gail and his wife, Melinda Altstetter, of Lima, and Dennis and his wife, Nancy Altstetter, of Kinley, North Carolina. Carol was an active member of Only Believe Church in Botkins. I want to say that is a short word for all the things that Carol did in this church over the 30-plus years that I've known her, that I've been here, the many things that she helped me with in this ministry. Just amazing. You can't count how many meals she prepared, how many, I'm going to say, tons of mashed potatoes. I told somebody today, I think she made more mashed potatoes than Colonel Sanders. And I really believe that. I'm telling you, that the woman was a mashed potato wizard. She could make mashed potatoes that tasted better than any other mashed potatoes. And she would do it just in a flash. And we made tons and tons of different kinds of food items for people in various situations, including funeral dinners. She also loved gardening, baking bread, and sewing. She had been a seamstress at the former Zofsky's Bridal and also did custom sewing and alterations in her home. I don't think I own a suit that Carol hadn't let the seam out or gave me an extra inch to breathe. She would just take them from me, and I was thankful for it. She was a real blessing. She enjoyed the sewing, and it was partly because of her enjoyment in sewing that she was inspired to open her own business, Carol's Coats of Many Colors. Those of you that are privileged to own one are truly blessed, because it is one of a kind. And when you see them, you know how beautiful they are. I don't think she had any left, so they didn't bring them in to show us with the other things that she's sewn. If you look at the pictures out there on the Welcome Center, you see the costumes that she'd made. We've got a room upstairs that is virtually full of several hundred different costumes that we use for various productions here at the church. I think Carol sewed, if not everyone, almost every one of them. She designed and created those things and offered them at many events in the area. Carol lived her faith, offering encouragement from personal experiences through her Christ-inspired products of His sand. Based on the scripture, Psalm 139, 17, and 18, Carol was always excited to share her love of Christ with others. Psalm 139, 17, and 18 reflects, excuse me, some words to the effect of, how precious are thy thoughts toward me. I'm sorry. They are more in number than the sand. I apologize for that. Thought I would make it through without coughing. In closing on the obituary, memorial contributions in Carol's memory can be made to Peter Dosick Ministries for the purpose of mission outreach. You know, these few words are not the summation of Carol's life. They're not enough words or enough time to say all that could be said. More importantly is that for her family, you understand that she is bone of their bone and flesh of their flesh and blood of their blood. And who she was is inside them. And if you, family, will just listen when you're thinking about Carol, when you're wishing that you could talk to her, she's inside of you. If you want to hear her, just listen. Close your eyes, you'll see her. She'll always be there. When we were playing that music, I told Pastor Phyllis, I saw Carol right here dancing. That's her spot. She was right there dancing. Thank you for bearing with me on that. This is the part of the service where we're going to invite friends and family to say a few words on Carol's behalf. Pastor Rick Burtz. Oh, here he is.
There you go, buddy. Am I that short? You didn't see me coming? I am. Okay. Wow. First, I'm going to set this timer. Because I've been warned, I shouldn't say warned, I've been encouraged, brother, don't go too long. I guess, gosh, this is a little more challenging than I thought. I guess it's okay to be happy and sad at the same time. Because I know where Mama Carol is. And I'm happy for that. Anybody else here happy for her? Yeah, amen. But then I'm a little sad because I won't see her for a little while. But I was thinking about her, and first impressions came to mind. And I think about a first impression, you know, that's the initial perception you have of someone. And first impressions are so important. The reason why they're so important is because they have a long-lasting effect. I mean, you meet somebody, you get that first impression, and even though you may have a sequence of events after that, you still remember that first impression. I think in psychology, they call that the primacy effect. That first encounter still remains in your mind even after you've had multiple experiences? Well, my first encounter with Miss Carol, I come to this church, never been to this church before, and started coming. And she just walked up to me one day and said, "Hello," and introduced herself. And I'm like, "Oh, hi, hello." And she said, "I want to invite you to dinner." And I'm like, "Okay." And she says, "So here's my address." And I don't think GPS was really big back then. So I live in Dayton. And so I'm looking at this New Knoxville address. Okay, I'm assuming it's somewhere by the church. Didn't realize just how far away it was. So I'm driving, and I'm not from the country, so I'm going, where am I going? Why are the houses so far apart from one another? You know, where's the neighborhood? You know, so I'm driving, and I'm by myself, and I show up to this house, and I'm like, what have you gotten yourself into? So I walk in, and, you know, everything is fresh. You know, nothing has sugar, nothing has salt, nothing has any of the bad stuff, preservatives, you know. It doesn't have any of that. So I'm like, is this going to be good? You know, eat the food. It was great. The fellowship with the family was great. So I'm going, wow, this was really a great experience. So I'm ready to go. And she says, well, there's one more thing. There's one more thing. And I'm like, okay, what's that? She said, well, have a seat. I'm like, I'm out in the country with people I don't know. I'm all by myself. God help me. And then she brings out a bucket. I'm like, okay, where's that door at? How fast can I get to that door? And there's water in it, and there's oil, and there's towels. And she says, I want you to take your shoes off. Take my shoes off. And she says, we're going to wash your feet. Now, Christianity is somewhat new to me. So I wasn't really familiar. I mean, I'd heard of foot washing, of course, but never really experienced that. So here's a woman that gets down on her knees, and she starts washing my feet. And she's praying over me. And it wasn't just her. Then Dennis, her husband at that time, then he does it. Then she has her children to do it. And I had just never had an experience like that. And I asked her, why are you doing this? And she said, well, you know, like a lot of us, I didn't grow up with everything right. I had some wrong thoughts, wrong views. I grew up around some negative views. And she said, and I just want to do right by God. So this woman had her and her family to feed me and then pray over me. It completely changed me. And I let them know, I don't know if you're okay with this or not, but I'm family regardless if you want me to be or not. You're not going to wash my feet and we not have a special relationship. Can somebody say amen to that? But that first impression, and I had many more experiences with the family, but that first impression never left me. I'm talking about a woman who was bold enough to step out of her comfort zone to be a blessing to me. I'm talking about a woman that said, you know what, regardless of how I grew up or what I grew up around or maybe even some thoughts I have, I'm going to be used by God today. That never left me. It let me know that regardless of my past, regardless of what I've been through, God still has a plan for me. Can we say amen to that? And he wants to use me. And I never forgot that. And I think about her boldness and what all it introduced me to. I remember when Dennis when he was, before he passed, he was in the hospital, and I was in the hospital visiting with him, and I was looking over him, and I was just, I kind of had just had my eyes closed, and there was a nurse behind me. I guess she had a problem with a little short black guy being in a room with a tall white guy, you know. And Dennis woke up and said, "That's my son that you're looking at like that. He just stays out in the field a little longer than the rest of us." And so I think about that, you know, that's a moment. Now, I know that's funny. That moment stays with me forever. But I would have never had that if it wasn't for this woman being bold enough to approach a total stranger and bless him. I look at what I have today. I have a relationship with this family. Like with Sarah, I'm her little big brother. Little because she's like, what, 6'1"? I don't know how tall you are. You know, everybody's taller than me, so it's like everybody's 6 foot, you know. But I'm older than her, but I'm her little big brother. All this happened because a woman was willing to say, you know what, I want to be a blessing. I want to leave an impact. I want to touch people, and I want them, when they see me, I want them to see Jesus. And I'm telling you today, when I met Mama Carol, I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus. I better stop there. Thank you.
All of that was true. A life of experience spent with someone who loved everybody and sought to bless as many as she could. We're going to proceed with Wayne Altstetter, nephew.
Good morning. I so appreciate the comment about first impressions. As Carol's nephew, some of my first impressions, you know, she was Aunt Carol. She's the one that come give you a hug and a kiss when you show up at a family get together, whether you wanted it or not, right? She just come give it to you, and that was my Aunt Carol. I've been asked by the family to give some comments representing her extended family. And so I spent some time interacting with my dad and my two uncles, just asking them to share some of their thoughts and reflections on their sister. And a few things rose to the surface as I listened and then read some of the comments that I got back from them. And so I guess I'd just like to encapsulate those in some highlights or some main things about Carol's life. The first thing that came to the surface was her strong personality. She was a strong woman. She was not mild or passive. She was active and deliberate. When she set her mind to something, she did that. I guess this was probably somewhat necessary, being the only girl among three brothers. She had to learn to stand on her own two feet and represent herself well in the family as the only girl, right? She was not one to back down from any of her convictions, ever, right? When she set her mind on something, there was no swaying or turning Carol from it. I appreciated this story that her brother Dennis sent me. And I'm just going to read it verbatim from what he sent me. One of my earliest memories comes from the time when I was in first grade and Carol was in sixth grade. We were both attending Caro Elementary School at the time. She walked by the lunchroom doors and saw me sitting by myself at the lunch table staring at my lunch tray. There was one item left on my tray, and my teacher would not allow me to go to recess until my entire tray was empty. That one food item left on my tray was sliced apricots. I cannot eat them as I immediately go into an all-out gag reflex, and they will not go down. They only go up. That's pleasant. Yes. Carol asked me what was the matter, and when I told her, she immediately went into action. See, this demonstrates Carol's strong personality here. Without permission from another teacher, she went out into the hallway and called our mom, who was at home that day. Mom then called and spoke with my teacher, and I did not have to eat my apricot slices. Carol did get into a little trouble and received a stern lecture from her sixth grade teacher later that day. But Mom and Dad went to the school that afternoon, and I never had to eat apricots again. My sister stuck her neck out to save her little brother from those nasty little apricots, and I will forever be grateful for her saving my life that day. She was a very strong personality. Second thing that rose to the surface was that Carol was an all-in person. Not only was she focused in her strong personality, when she committed to something, she went full go at it. There was no holding back with Carol. Her brother Mike said that a great example of this is when she grew up as a town girl, right? He lived in the town, lived in, kind of that close environment of a neighborhood. But when she married the farm, she became all in the farm. There was no going back. There was no fighting it. I'm all into the farm. It was tough work. It was hard work. But she was all in. There was no going back. You saw this with her two home ministries, businesses, maybe I guess you might call them, with her coats of many colors and the sand ministry as well. She was all in. She did it with her entire heart. She was passionate. This could sometimes cause friction with people. And I think that that's where that family dynamic comes in, right? Sometimes that causes a little friction. But you know what? Carol could be counted on to get things done because she was all in. She was also the queen of the home remedy. I'm sure if we went around the room, we'd probably hear several stories about some form of home remedy that you got prescribed by Carol. Whether it was a vegetable or, I love Pastor Burks, there was no sugar, no bad stuff in anything that she made, right? The queen of the home remedy. One of her favorite things was essential oils. Yes? Okay. I was talking with my dad, and my dad said, you know, well through his adult years, whenever he would have an ache or a pain of some sort, she would say, well, I know an essential oil that would be really good for that. And he'd try it and use it, and he's like, hey, you know, it's amazingly, it cleared up the issue that I had. Queen of the home remedy. I too have a personal experience with a home remedy from Aunt Carol. My family members might recall this story because I shared it back when Grandma passed away. But for the rest of you, there was a time when Grandma was in Otterbein. She's just a couple of days probably before she passed away. And I went down there, and Carol was the only one with Grandma at the time. And I'm a basketball referee. So I had recently strained a groin muscle out on the basketball court, okay? And we're sitting there at Grandma's bedside, and we're talking and chatting and everything, and this comes up. Somehow, I don't even remember how it came up. It came up, and Carol, I bet if you put a little bit of, I don't even know, thieves, I don't know, something like that, you know, this essential oil, if you put a little bit of that on there, I bet it'll really do wonders for it, Wayne. You just need to try it. It so happens that I have some here with me. Now, keep in mind where we're at, okay? We are in Otterbein. My grandmother is non-responsive. She's, you know, a day or two from going to be with Jesus. So she said, here's a little bottle of it. Well, you know, you just go in the bathroom in there and you just put a little bit on there and you'll be all right, you know, and see how it goes. So I take her advice and I go in there and I'm of that mentality that if some's good, more's better, right? Well, that's not really the case when it comes to essential oils, okay? So she said, put a couple little drops. You know, I'm like, okay, all right, let's see. Just rub it on there nice and generously. So I get all taken care of, come back out there, and we're sitting, we're talking, and I am telling you what, brother, you talk about lighting a fire. That brought a whole new meaning to it, and it was all in the most uncomfortable places, okay? And I was like, Aunt Carol, is this supposed to burn? Like, I don't know. And she said, well, how much did you put on? And I said, well, I don't know, a lot. And she's like, oh, Wayne, oh, no, that's not, no, just a drop or two. Well, I learned the hard way on that. She was the queen of the home remedy. She was also faithful. Faithful. Faithful to those in her life that she loved. This is probably never more evident than at the back part of each of her parents' lives, where she cared for them faithfully. You see the faithfulness in someone when they have nothing to offer you back, and yet you are still there giving and serving. Carol was faithful to those she loved. She's also faithful to her Lord. She loved her Savior, and she was not ashamed to tell you about it, right? Knowing that I am involved in worship music at my church, Carol loved her worship music, absolutely loved it. She would often dialogue with me and ask if I had heard such and such song, or let me play this song for you. Yeah, I think it's a wonderful song, so I'd listen to it and we dialogue on that. Whenever we'd go over for family get-togethers, there was always some form of worship music playing in the background because she loved it. She loved to worship her Lord. And now she's in his presence, worshiping face-to-face. Amen? Another example of Carol's faithfulness is the lives of her children. The fact that each one of her kids are walking with the Lord and giving testimony to his goodness in their life. That is an honor to your mother and the life that she lived. And the last thing that I have to share is that Carol had hope. She lived her life with hope of eternity. And that is a hope that is realized right now. It changes everything. I remember clearly a conversation that I had with Carol when Grandpa was in the hospital. Standing in the hallway, it was just her and I. She looked me square in the eye and she said, Wayne, I don't know how people do it without the hope of Jesus and the hope of eternal life. It changes everything. She said, I know my daddy has given his life to Jesus, and one day we will see each other again in his presence. It changes everything. And I'd like to just finish with this scripture that talks about our hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-14, Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died so that you will not grieve like people with no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when he returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. It's okay to grieve. We grieve at the loss of someone we love. But we don't have to grieve like those with no hope. Because we have hope in eternal life through a Savior in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Now we're going to close words with family and friends with Angel Cady Henry, Carol's daughter-in-law. And Pastor Dosick will follow her.
First of all, from our family, we would like to thank all of you for your expressions of sympathy and for your kind words about memories you've shared, and also for your love. We appreciate you taking time out of your busy lives to be with us last night and this morning. And we're just very grateful, and we'd like to say thank you. I have the privilege of speaking on behalf of our immediate family to try to convey just a little glimpse of who Carol was to us in our lives. And one of the attributes of Carol that came immediately to my mind is that of her generosity. In Hebrews 13:16, we as Christians are exhorted to not neglect to do good and to share what you have, because such sacrifices are pleasing to God. This was truly how Carol lived her life. As a family, we were very blessed to see Carol practice this just on a regular basis. And one example of this is just with the garden that Carol grew, and she weeded, and she labored over and kept. And every year she would always plant a garden that was bigger than what she needed. And she did that so that she could watch as the produce ripened, and then she would call us up and say, "Now, if you need some green beans, the green beans are ripe, come over and pick them." And so she would just always let us know that we were welcome to come and pick the fruits of her labor. There were even, she would organize days where we would put up the freezer corn. The whole family would get together, and the boys would shuck the corn, and us girls would be in the kitchen, and she'd cut it off the cobs, and we would all bag it up, and she made sure everybody had some for every freezer. She did that with applesauce. One day we even had a salsa canning day. You know, when Alicia was little, Carol always let her go out to the berry patch and have her fill of whatever she wanted. And Carol loved her berries, but you know, with the little grandkids, they could just go ahead and you just pick and eat all, whatever you want, just keep going. And recently, she had the pleasure of doing that with Melina. Melina's really, really special. In one way, she loves all sorts of different kinds of food. And she loved her grandma's berries and tomatoes. So Carol would take her out, and she'd go pick some of those with her and just spend that time together. And other times, if Melina wasn't there, she would pick the berries or the tomatoes, and she would go into town and give them to little Melina, and her little face would just light up over those little treasures Grandma brought her. I know one of Alicia's special memories with Grandma was their cooking shows. As a matter of fact, Alicia had made the comment the other day, "My grandma was cooking show grandma." And what would happen is, Alicia was 3, 4, 5, 6, and she's always loved to perform and put on a show. That's just who she was when she was little. And so when Carol would take time to bake with her, they would never just bake. No, they would bake, and they would put on some aprons, and as they were baking, they would talk with the fake audience about how you put this amazing recipe together, and they did it like a cooking show. Then afterward, Carol would make up menus, and they would play Alicia's next favorite thing. They would play restaurant, because that was big stuff. And so they would go around to the family and take orders and serve them, And sometimes there were even some tips involved, and so she just thought that was awesome. But Carol was generous of herself and of her time in those ways. Catherine and I, we were talking about how we had always been made to feel a welcomed part of the family. She was very generous with her love with us. You know, we weren't just in-laws, but we were considered her kids. And she always tried to be very conscientious about being the best mother-in-law that she knew how to be. And you know, in Rich's case, she did this by welcoming him properly, right from the get-go. You know, laughter was really important to her. And obviously, the way to welcome him was to throw a cup of water in his face the very first time that they met. And he always said he was going to get her back. And he kind of did that day. She sat on his knee. We'll be laughing about that for a little while. Then in remembering and just recounting some other family memories with Jason, Sarah, and Luke, one of the things we started talking about was how much she enjoyed and appreciated time with her kids. With Luke, there was the time after Dennis had passed away that she went on a trip to Florida with him, a time that now he's especially grateful for. There were also the times she would ask him to take her on motorcycle rides, and she'd get on the back of his motorcycle and go out on a ride. Those are special things they did together. She relished those things, and they truly brought her great joy. She would come back, and she would say, "Guess what I did today?" And she would tell us she went for a ride. With Jason, she would often make him lunch and, you know, maybe invite him to come into the house and just have lunch with her and join her. Or maybe she'd make a dessert and she'd go walk it out to the shop and make sure he had some. She just did little things like that to take care of him. And anytime she made fried pumpkin blossoms, that was a family favorite, there would always be an invite to come over and join her. That was just part of that generosity. And then there's Sarah. Carol was proud of all of her kids and their talents, and rightly so. They are amazingly talented, and Sarah was no exception. In our conversations, she would make statements to me about just how talented Sarah was. She was just blown away by her own daughter. Anytime Sarah did something, she was impressed. She could routinely be heard saying, once Sarah had finished an arrangement or baked something, she would just say, "Sarah, you outdid yourself." When I'd stop over, she was always eager to show me the latest wreath that Sarah had made, or maybe it was a jacket pattern that Sarah had chosen the fabrics for and how to put them together. And I'll never forget her pure joy when Sarah announced that Pierce was on his way. After he was born, Carol got to stay with Sarah for a few days at a time, and she helped out with the baby while Sarah had returned to work. And during those times, she would just snuggle up with him and rock him while he napped. And those were times she cherished. She would come back and she would tell us all about it. She just loved that. There were, of course, also family vacations. They had a trip to Mississippi and the memorable trip out west with an Airstream travel trailer. There's also a lot of stories about Carol's ornery streak. There's remembrances of how much she loved her 6 white pups that she called her babies. through the years, she just did so many things. She sewed so many special projects up. Pastor Ed had talked about that a little bit. She made countless alterations whenever they were needed. It was never a problem for her. She made it look easy. Family meals were prepared. There were garden harvests. There were vacations and a lot of other special days. And there's really too many little stories to share in just a few minutes. that tell of how much Carol appreciated having her family around her, to tell of her desire to make memories and to try to encapsulate just how generous her heart really was. There's been a lot of laughs and times together that are definitely true treasures. So as the days and months and even years pass, we'll continue to share many of these stories. We'll laugh together and we'll share a few tears. But we'll look to the example that Carol set of Romans 12:10. To be devoted to one another in love, to honor one another above ourselves. And we'll continue her legacy. We'll make memories for the future, and we'll cherish those memories of our parents who now are rejoicing in heaven. But we'll take comfort knowing that, and we'll rejoice with her.
Thank you, Angel. Well, great day. I have had the privilege of knowing Carol Cadden Henrich. I do want to straighten out some of these stories. I tried not to use the word stubborn or controlling, but Wayne danced his way right around that. Then I don't know where Rick Burke ate lunch at that day, but it was like eating in a third world country. She show up, she say, "Oh, hey, I brought something. Who eats ground up garbanzo bean salad?" Nobody. And we have all types of oils and stuff at a discount price now that Carol is gone at our house. And you can stop by and try some of those. And but she was queen of home remedies. And she was never at a lack. The first time I met Carol at her house, she made me a cake out of paper plates. Right then, she threw down the gauntlet, and we just never let it end. She'd sew my pants pockets shut. And then she'd hide money in them, but you can't get to it. So, and then she would take up all my clothes, and she was just a great, great help. She was the best sister-in-law that I ever had. I never told her that while she was alive, because she'd use it. But she was the best sister-in-law I ever had, because she would call before she would come, and we could find something else to do. And no. So Carol was indeed a great lady. Carol Cadden Henrich Dosick. When remembering or reminiscing about today, I do want to ask you not to remember this day in a way that brings sorrow to your heart, because the end of a woman's life of faith is not this. We see that. But the end of a woman's life of faith is written upon each and every one of our hearts. It is given as a legacy to her children. And her children will be reflections, not only of their father, Dennis, which you can find that in Jason, which when Jesus creates a new heaven and new earth, whatever Dennis Katahenrich made will still be here. And then they will be a reflection of Carol and her faith in God. You know, as we think about Carol, some of you never knew that she was sick. She wasn't a complainer. Well, she did complain to me, but just in a pastoral place. Have you ever thought of this? I said, yeah, I didn't like it. She said, well, maybe you ought to rethink it. I said, okay. But this disease that attacked Carol, she didn't want to spread it around. She didn't want to tell everybody, even though they couldn't do anything for it. She chose to believe God. And I've seen many attempts of faith as a pastor in 40 years. But Carol was devoted to seeing God do what God had promised to do. Now, as soon as we say that, we say, well, faith failed. She didn't have enough faith. She didn't do that. She didn't do this. Those are words and statements of people that understand very little about what faith is in God. Faith in God is not about getting what you are pursuing God to do in your life. There are many stories in the Bible where men were sawn asunder, where they suffered stonings, where they were tormented. The Bible says that there were many men and women that died in faith. Well, how do we reconcile those statements to someone that believes God and looks in our eyes like she never got what she was believing God for? That comes from a lot of misunderstandings. Number one, faith in God is never to be used as an exchange for what we want to happen in our life. That's not what faith in God is about at all. Faith in God is about trusting God and allowing His ways to dominate our ways at all cost. To say what looks impossible, but to acknowledge that with God it is. It means to agree with God despite what every day is bringing. That we are trusting and relying on God, even though every day is filled with a struggle of pain and questions. Yet never asking those questions, but just simply binding ourselves with God is faithful, and I trust that His ways are always righteous. So when we look at Carol's life, and some would say, well, we all believed, and we did. But it's not the end result that people obtain by faith that pleases God. It is the act of faith in itself that pleases God. Too many times we say, well, I didn't get this, or we hear of, well, they believed for that and they didn't get that. You're missing the whole point about faith. Faith is that we commit ourselves to trust God in areas that seem totally foreign and foolish to people that do not know Christ. And there are people that are tormented, were tormented, sawn asunder, stoned, rejected, killed for their faith. People that stand and believe and seemingly never see what they're believing for. Now, I don't know why that happens. I don't have all the answers. Maybe you do. I don't have all the answers. I don't know why some die in faith and those people that I don't like live without faith. I don't know. But what I do know is that this woman right here lived one of the most challenging times of her life by faith and trust in God. And you may think that this was a failure of faith. It was a foolish choice. You just simply don't know the God that Carol Katahenrich trusted in. This right here is insignificant. It's going to happen to each and every one of us. I don't care, black, white, short, ugly, old. It doesn't matter. It's appointed once by God for every man to die and then the judgment. And so this right here, though it's foreign to believers and we don't want to face it, it's going to come. Whether it comes before sun rises tomorrow, whether it comes next week, whether it comes while you're eating in a restaurant, whether it comes in a car, it's going to come. And we as believers must be prepared for it. So the outcome of what we would think was failure wasn't failure at all. The victory in all of it was that she had an unshakable faith and devotion to one called Jesus Christ. Amen. She didn't want people to know it. She didn't want people to be burdened or troubled by it. Because when it all really comes down to it, faith is an individual walk and an individual battle against our faith, against the desire of unbelief to dethrone Christ in our life. And nobody can fight those fights for you. You have to fight them yourself. Well, I was honored to see Carol Dosick fight her fight of faith. And even though it didn't turn out the way that I would have wanted it to turn out, I never questioned the outcome because I know a God who knows the end from the beginning. And I trust that all his deeds are righteous. So I never want to ever question why. What's important is what she did in her life of faith. You know, the secret things belong to the Lord. What he reveals to us, we know and we can share them with our children. But there are many things. Why did God make me so short? I'm not that bad a look, and I can understand maybe Rick, you know, God not wanting to, you know, shock creation by seeing Rick in his true state. But me, I think I should be 6'6", full head of hair instead of a back full of it. And I would think that God would use me as the picture, the poster boy of creation's finest work. But you know what? That doesn't happen. I get up every morning and look in the mirror and I wonder, what is going on? Well, I don't know it all. You don't know it all, but I do know this. Not one time did God ever fail a man or a woman of faith, even though we may believe that they fell short and God did not complete the work. I was proud to know Carol, not only as a prisoner, an active one, as well as a sister-in-law, as well as the woman that directed Dennis Kettenhamrich's life, as well as a friend. A friend. You know, I like Carol as a sister-in-law because she'd come over and I could go to sleep and she wouldn't be bothered at all. Phyllis would wake me up and say goodbye to Carol. Goodbye, Carol. You know, she just accepted me the way that I was. I was hoping that would rub off on Phyllis, but it hasn't. Phyllis still wants to change me. I'm too old to change. Some lady the other day said, stand on that circle. I said, I'm 72, lady. I don't work here. I don't know you. And I'm going to stand wherever I want to stand. She said, well, you should stand on those circles. I said, I'm not standing there. You say, well, that was a little rude. I know it. It was a rebellious moment, and I enjoyed it all the way. Carol was a woman of faith against all the reports that came to her. All of the struggle, the pain, she still counted God faithful. Faithful. Just a week before she passed away, I have no idea how she did it. But the woman gets up, dresses, and just wanted to dance and give God thanksgiving. You can't even get healthy people to do that. But she did it because she wanted to show God, my faith is still in you. She never went anywhere that she didn't witness. You know, I guess if she'd witness to a dog if they'd listen. But she witnessed to everybody she ran into. And I was proud of her about that. She desired for people to know. She would tell little stories about, hey, I gave away this track on the sand, and I gave a little vial of that sand, and you know, the people were touched, and she'd just start crying. She wanted people to know about Jesus Christ. Giving, man, oh man, she sewed more wedding dresses than any other woman I ever knew. She would take what somebody else didn't want, skirm it down. I don't know how you get a woman that's a size 6 into a dress that used to be a size 18, but some way Carol could do that. And she just cared for people. She loved people. She never ever turned away a need that I know of. She always constantly tried to be involved in people's lives and their struggles. She constantly helped people when she heard about them in between things and they were struggling or had a question. She would do something for them. She rolled up her sleeves and she got involved. She was not the typical Christian, let's observe and see what happens. No, she got involved. That's probably how Rick lucked out and become a part of the family of the Kettenhamriches. Amen. The black sheep of the family. Now you might say, oh, why did you say that? Because Rick and I are friends. We travel the world together preaching the gospel to tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of people. And so I'm not offended when he calls me, you white folks just don't know how to do it. Well, I say, well, you guys have never taken time to teach us how to do it. So, because we love each other, there is no offense in love. Carol strove to be like Christ. She found herself offended or found herself put off. I'll tell you what, that woman would repent and just change. Doesn't seem like she repeated wrongs. She was a blessing to people. And she cared for people. I hope that the parents will continue to share who Carol Katta Henrich Dosick was in the years to come. I hope that they will share their faith in their mother and father. I know that they know how to touch their ankles because her mom used to make them bend over, grab their ankles while she swatted their rear end. So I know they can do that. But they learned strong work ethics from their father and their mother. You guys have a heritage of faith, and you activate it in your church. And I guess they've been here so long, it's kind of like they come with the property. And they are great activists in their church. They serve God. They volunteer. They put their hands to it. They learn that. Carol Katta Henrich has left a tattooed spot on all of our hearts. Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm going to miss ground up garbanzo bean salad, because I'm not. I'd much rather have Kentucky Fried Chicken. She said, at least take the skin off of it. I said, leave me alone, it's just a moment. Now, I'm just telling you, this is really not where Carol Katta Henrich's life ends. It's really where the influence that she had on us begins. Paul said, be you followers of me as I am of Christ. Take the things that Carol put in your life and incorporate them in your life. Share them. Laugh about them. Laugh with her, laugh at her, whatever you have to do. But don't let it be out of mind or out of sight, out of mind. We are all the people that we are right now at this moment because of something that she put in us. It's priceless. So let it be reminisced. But don't let this part of it dominate what you remember. Remember everything she did. I remember the first time her and Dennis took me on one of them snowmobile rides. And she was in front of me. And I'm telling you, you couldn't convince me she didn't push me off on purpose. Dennis is way out in the field, and he finally turned around, and I'm thinking, like, what? Man, here you are, half a mile away. Didn't you know I was gone? No, she didn't say nothing. So what would you think? You're right. I'm going to miss her every spring, bringing me a few mushrooms. I'm going to miss her calling and stopping in. I'm going to miss her when she stood with me by faith and sat on a stage where I believed the piano was going to be. And she sat on a chair. You say, oh boy, that was extreme. Well, one day that piano showed up. And Carol played. Then we moved the piano. And no, Carol did a great job. So today, let those things that she taught us and what she expressed and lived, let them become a part of your life. Thank you, Angel, for telling us things about Carol. Wayne, thank you for having the courage to dance around issues that I was afraid to face. And Rick, may God forgive you for telling the fib. Let's stand to our feet today. Father, people cross our paths and we have divine connections with them. People, God, that you've declared in the book of wisdom where iron sharpens iron, where we just become better because of their relationship with us. And God, we want to thank you for Carol Cata-Henrich Dosick. God, the legacy of faith in her children, I see displayed every service. God, we thank you for the short time, the vapor of her life, that it came and it influenced us. Now, Father, let us remember not this moment, but the moments of her life where she might have been radical, but it was a right radical way to go. And God, we thank you for the life of Carol Cata-Henrich Dosick. Now, God, comfort us as we grieve for her in this time span. But God, let us rejoice that God, death never wins. The grave cannot keep us. And that Jesus Christ himself will come. Those that are dead in Christ will rise first. And we that will remain, God, shall be caught up in the air to ever be with the Lord. May we stand faithful until that hour and that day as we see the Lord. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You are all welcomed for a dinner after the gravesite here at the church, and so please join them. Be a great time of talking and joking and just being encouraged and blessed.
Can you hit that key? Is it all right if we do a little something? I know this is kind of. This is one of my favorites. It would go. You might know it. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when it calls this church away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. Church away. The captain of the vessel, he's a calling, get on board. The destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore. We'll meet our splendid Savior and our loved ones that's gone before. We'll spend all eternity, thank God I'm a going.